tonight in the time that we have remaining together. I want to take the opportunity to try and address two topics in relation to our series that we have been in the evenings called Basic Training. Tonight, it's my desire to try to address the topic of discipline and development. Before we pick up that topics or those topics tonight, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Father, we ask and pray tonight that as we come now to the study of thy word, that you would help us, and Lord, that you would teach us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we have been able to gather together around your table to remember the sacrifice of our Savior. Lord, I thank you tonight that we have been able to be reminded of the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, tonight we want now to come to your word, and we want to study it together. We want to continue to understand how we can follow the biblical principles for parenting. Lord, I pray that you would teach us and instruct us at this time. We'll thank you, Lord, for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no greater risk-reward in the Christian life than that which is found in parenting. Parenting truly has its many risks for us, since there is always the chance as a parent that we will be hurt by the decisions and the choices of our children. There are many variables which are out of our control, which make the risk sometimes somewhat greater. However, I believe if we commit ourselves to the principles of the Bible as they relate to parenting, we will also find that there is great reward in doing the work of parenting God's way. Perhaps the greatest challenge that parents face is in the area of discipline. There are many ideas about discipline, and as it relates to the parents and their children, there are as many ideas in the world of parenting today as there are parents and children. There's a lot of different thoughts out there as to what should happen in the realm of discipline, what should happen as parents would bring up their children. But I'm reminded that we as God's people ought to be following not the mind of man or the thoughts of the world when it comes to disciplining of our children. We ought to be following the principles of the Word of God. Many parents, though, have over the years and still continue today to base their parenting, their thoughts, on human reasoning, and they forsake biblical principle. Tonight, as we begin to address the concept of discipline and development, we want to do so in regards to our children by looking at the biblical principle to help us so that we learn how they develop, that we learn how they are able then to be properly disciplined for the honor and the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we begin, I want to start with the area of discipline, and then we'll get to the area of development. But let's begin tonight with the thoughts of discipline. And under discipline, I simply titled it this way, the heart of control. As we look at some thoughts tonight concerning discipline, I want to see two basic truths that will help you and I as parents get to the heart of control of our children. The primary goal of every parent, and I think this is important for us to understand and lay hold of right at the outset as we talk about discipline. The primary goal of every Christian parent is to see their children develop in Christ's likeness. But folks, that does not come naturally to them. And the reason it doesn't come naturally is because they, like us, are sinners by nature. And the life of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, must be cultivated in them. It ought to be the goal of every parent to see the life of Christ cultivated in the life of their child. We ought to desire to see them develop in Christ-likeness. We would like to think because we're in Christian homes and we're Christian parents and they're in Christian schools or involved in youth group and master clubs that it will naturally take place in their life that they will develop in Christ-likeness. Well, folks, that's not the case. That has to be done through a parent doing the job of discipline. Parents are called, upon by God to curb sinful behaviors in their children, and by their authority exercise control of their children in order to train them in the way they should go. Parents have a responsibility to discipline. They have a responsibility to bring control into the life of a child. Yet each parent has to realize as well that one day their children must ultimately choose to walk with God on their own. Like I said, there's a risk-reward relationship. Each parent is called upon by Almighty God to enact discipline and by authority see their child control, that they might be able to develop in Christ's likeness. But ultimately, the goal for us as parents is to have that child, at the time that they step out on their own, make the choice for themselves to walk with God. That brings the question then, so then how do we as parents go about our discipline and in that process not lose our children? Because there is a fear that if we discipline our children, they will walk away from us. I'm going to give you two basic thoughts tonight that I think relate to this concept of discipline. How are we to discipline our children? How are we to bring about the control that they need? What's the heart of the matter? How does this get accomplished so that when they leave our homes, they actually choose of their own free will to walk with God and live for Him? How does that happen? I'm going to give you two basic thoughts tonight. Number one, you and I as parents must determine to capture the heart of our children. When it comes to the area of discipline, when it comes to seeing them trained and brought up in the ways of the Lord, when we desire to see them be developed in Christ's likeness so that at the age of their maturity, when they stand on their own, they say, I will walk with God, and that's the conviction of their life. How is that going to happen? Folks, I believe it all starts when we determine as parents, I will capture the heart of my child. I want to explain that to you tonight because I think this is a key in our training of children and the winning of them to the Lord. We must determine to capture the heart of our child. Let me share a couple things with you tonight. For many parents, the concept of discipline revolves around this thought. Parents strive to control behavior. When we talk about the concept of disciplining our children, we often think about the behavior of a child. And so as we talk about discipline and how we ought to discipline our children, many times the focus of that conversation revolves around how can I control their behavior? Yet, what we fail to recognize is that behavior is a product of the heart. Your child's behavior, your personal behavior, is a byproduct of your heart. So the issue is not the behavior as much as it is the heart. And so the job of the parent is to capture the heart of the child. I can put it to you this way. Conduct is a product of character. The conduct of your child is the product of their character. Again, we often talk about behavior when we talk about discipline. We talk about the means of discipline and the best way that we can discipline them so that we can get our children under control and control their behavior. Matter of fact, many books that you pick up on parenting are going to get right to that thought. The ways that you should discipline so that the behavior of your child is conformed, the behavior of your child is controlled. But folks, the heart of parenting and winning our children for the Lord is capturing the heart of a child. Because the behavior of your child, the behavior of your teenager, is a simple byproduct of what is in their heart. Say, Pastor, is there any proof that that is the case? Because everyone seems to say it's all about behavior. So how can you say it's about the heart? You can take your Bible and open to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Or you can look on the screen. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. Solomon writes to us and says, we must learn to keep or guard the heart of man. Why? Because it is out of the heart of man come all the issues of life. Now, folks, that does not just apply to those who are of mature age. That is for all mankind. Your behavior is a product of your heart. It is a product of your character. The heart of man, the heart of your child, is the control center of their life. That's why you and I have to capture the heart. It is the heart that is most important. That which controls your child and that which controls their behavior is the heart. So it's not my desire as a parent that I merely get them to conform outwardly. I want to capture the heart of my child. And I'm going to explain that in more detail in a moment, why that's so important. We're going to see that. But lay hold of the fact that God says, out of the heart come the issues of life, and know that the heart is the control center of life. So we need to capture the heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. We're reminded, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Where do our actions come from? Sometimes we talk about, well, we're just the product of our environment. Folks, you and I are the product of our heart. Our behavior comes from within. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. It is from the heart that your actions come. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ said this to us as well. That a good tree cannot produce evil fruit, nor an evil tree produce good fruit. Evil trees produce evil fruit, and good trees produce good fruit. And it's out of the heart that we are either good or evil. Our actions are a product of the heart of us. Our conduct is a byproduct of our character. So we as a parent must determine that we will capture the heart of our children. Parents, the outward behavior of your child to you is merely but a sign of what's taking place at the heart level. That's why it's a mistake for us to try to simply have our children conform to standards that are imposed upon them without first trying to capture their heart. Your child's behavior is not the basic issue or the basic problem that needs to be addressed. The problem is, and the reason that we often go to behavior first and focus on behavior, is because a behavior is apparent and the heart is not. We see the outward behavior. But let the outward behavior be a reminder to you of what is going on within the heart. And the way to correct the behavior is not simply make them conform their behavior. We need to get a hold of their heart. Ted Tripp, in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, by the way, for every parent, for every grandparent, for everyone that you know that is in the throes of parenting, you ought to have that resource in your house. You ought to take the time to read the book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. But he says in that book, within the first chapter, He makes a very good observation. He says, a change in behavior that does not stem from a change of heart is not commendable. Notice, it's condemnable. I want you to think about that for a moment. A change of your child's behavior without a change of your child's heart is not a commendable thing. It, in essence, is condemnable of that life. Understand that? We often say, if I can just get them to change their behavior, that's a good thing. So when a child conforms and just does what he's told to do, but the heart never changes, we say, oh good, everything's taken care of, and we commend them for that. But there's a problem there, because the heart's never changed. And it's the heart that has to be guarded, because it's from the heart come the issues of life. It's not commendable, it's condemnable to that life. If you ask me today what I believe is the main reason that generations are being lost from the Church of Jesus Christ today, I think it's this very same point. The reason churches today struggle to maintain people within the church, and the reason that young people are leaving the Church of Christ in droves, is because we have spent years of our lives trying to bring conformity without ever reaching the heart of our children. Conformity ought not be the goal. Capturing the heart of our child will help us develop in them godly character. If all we care about is the outward conformity, here's the product that we get. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, some may still not agree with me on this point and feel that conformity to our standards ought to be higher on our agenda. But folks, if conformity to the standards is the highest thing on our agenda, and we don't go after the heart, we are condemning the lives of kids within our families. Say, Pastor, why do you think that? Turn over in your Bible with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 20 to verse 23. Paul writes and says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh. I want you to notice the following words. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. For whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Is it possible to obey, but not be pleasing to the Lord? The answer is yes. Now, Paul said, servants, you are to obey your masters. How is that to be done? In simple conformity? No, with the right heart. Not with eye service as a men pleaser, but with a singleness of heart, fearing God. Should we want anything less from our children? That their obedience would come through a singleness of heart, not merely to please me, but to please God. Absolutely, that's what I want. We can obey, we can conform, and still not be pleasing to the Lord. And that's not what we're going after. We saw this morning that God does care about the heart and the attitude of the heart as much as He cares about the outward actions. Folks, in worship, God wants the heart. Matter of fact, I was talking to someone this morning, and afterwards I was reminded of this thought. Isaiah chapter 1, God says, away with your vain oblations. Take your sacrifices and get rid of them. I don't want anything to do with them. In fact, they are putrid unto me. I despise them. I hate them. Why? Because the heart wasn't there. What God desires above all else is the heart. And what you and I ought to desire above everything else is the heart of our children. So as we seek to rear them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as we use the issues of discipline to help thee bring about the right controls and develop their character, the first responsibility is that we ought to capture the heart. You say, Pastor, why so much focus there? What happens in the life of a child who merely conforms to the standards we impose on them when they are no longer under our authority? You have your answer yet? Why is it so important for me to capture the heart of the five children God has given me? Because, folks, there is a day coming, and every day I get closer to it, that they will leave my home and come out from under my authority and make their own decisions and their own choices. So why do I need to capture the heart? Because I think this way. What happens when they leave the authority of my home? You know what the answer is? That child will act in a way consistent with their heart, because heart determines behavior. Why do we lose so many kids when they enter college? Because they come out from under authority, and the heart determines behavior. If the heart's not one, they will live according to their heart, just like you do. Why do we see so many 20-somethings walk away from God? Because heart determines behavior. But I did everything right as a parent. They lived by all the rules. They never disobeyed. They came to church. I made them come. Did you ever get their heart? Because without the heart, you're never going to change behavior. Now, in discipline, the easiest thing to go after is behavior. Because one, as a father and with authority, I can make them do what I want them to do. Because I'm in charge. I can punish, I can take things away, I can make it miserable for them, and I can endure with them having a bad attitude toward me. But I want their heart. Because heart determines behavior. So what do I need to understand in discipline? Number one, I need to capture the heart of my child. But secondly, I want you to see with me some details for controlling your child. Because control is also a part of discipline. It is the overall goal to capture the heart of our child, but that does not mean that we are free from exercising control of our children. We as parents must require proper behavior, and there must be punishment for expression of wrong behavior. But it can't ever stop there. We have to always seek to win the heart. So how do we exercise control? What are some principles in the issue of discipline? These are not how-tos. These are principles that ought to direct your discipline. So I'm going to give you five thoughts quickly tonight. Principle number one, discipline in charity. Be sure that all correction is done in the spirit of love. Because without love, 1 Corinthians 13 tells you, you are as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And without love, you are nothing and you profit nothing. All discipline must be done in a spirit of charity. It has to be done in the spirit of love. It cannot be done in a spirit of anger. Praise the Lord, God gives two parents to a home. Because sometimes one parent just can't handle the discipline because the offense was directly related to them and they need to walk away. But all discipline ought to be done in the spirit of love. Without love, parents, understand, your words fall on deaf ears. You are as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, nothing. And your love, your life, profits nothing in the life of that child. So the first principle is charity. The second is correction. Proper discipline requires setting a child aright. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 tells us that God gave us His Word. It is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The word correction there is a word that means set aright. Your child will go astray. They're going to go off the right, wrong path. They're going to fall down. They are going to stumble. And it's your job to correct them through the Word of God. To set them aright. I want to remind you that the word a train that we talked about in Proverbs 22:6 means to narrow. It is our job to narrow their options so that they stay on the straight road, which leads to life everlasting. We are to bring correction into their life. We don't just let it go. When they stray, we have to correct in the spirit of charity. Third, there must be consistency. In our discipline, there must be consistency. Here's what that means. What you say today has to be carried out tomorrow. What's wrong for one child has to be wrong for the others. You can't have two different standards. There has to be a consistency in your discipline. Consistency means that we have to be careful of favoritism. You may naturally be drawn to one of your children more than others, because you have similar likes or dislikes, because they are an awful lot like you, or whatever it might be. But you can never show favoritism to your children. Each one deserves the same love and the same care for you, from you. There has to be a consistency. Now, remember, each child will be different, so you are going to have to take your training and you're going to have to work with them individually, but you have to be consistent across the board with your children. And what you say has to go. You can't be constantly changing your mind. That's what Colossians chapter 3 is talking about. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You know what angers a child the most? Is your inconsistency, your favoritisms. That will anger a child. We have a responsibility to consistently work with our children continually over the course of their life. Number four, there has to be clarity. There has to be clarity in discipline. Make sure you take the time to clearly define the boundaries of your home. You cannot expect a child to know what you do not tell them. Whether they are a little child or a teenager, do not assume that they understand, because they usually don't. Well, my kid's a teenager now. They're a whole lot smarter than when they were younger. Rethink that thought. They're not necessarily a whole lot smarter than they used to be. They don't necessarily pick up on all the things that you think they should pick up on. We have to be clear in the defining of our responsibilities to them. Not every child is responsible. That's part of their maturity. That's part of our training. Number five, As we talk about the principles of discipline, it has to be Christ-centered. In all things, we have to make sure we are pointing them to Jesus Christ. Here's what your child needs to know. Above all else, God loves them. And so do you. You and I ought to use the Word of God to show them the error of their ways and to show them their sin, and then help them to be led in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I ought to be focused on Christ. We sang tonight, I cling to Christ and I marvel at the cross. We ought to be pointing them to Him. There's a mistake that some parents make, and that is they try to win their children to themselves. The byproduct of that is they have a very close-knit family. They love to be together. But unless you get their heart won to Christ, you can have a very close-knit family that does not love the Lord at all. It should not be your goal that my children would live right around me and be near me at all times. Your goal ought to be that my child will love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, that they will do the will of God all the days of their life, and they will never forsake Him. I want them focused on Christ. I want them to see Him and Him alone. It's as you and I keep these principles before us that God can help us to properly chain our children, to control them in a way that honors the Lord and wins them to the Lord and His ways. What are the keys to discipline of a child? Number one, folks, we got to capture the heart. And the heart is the most important. It's not about behavior. Discipline is getting to the heart. It's the heart that brings about control. It's a heart that will produce the behavior that brings glory to God. Out of the heart are the issues of life. It is out of the heart that the mouth speaks. It is out of the heart that actions are made. It's the heart that matters. And it's the heart that God looks upon. We look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And it is our duty, it is our responsibility as parents to capture the heart of our child for the Lord, to point them to Christ. We do that through the means of some controls, discipline, done with charity and correction and consistency and clarity, always pointing them to Christ. But if all you go for is getting them in your home to conform to whatever standards you have developed, and you never win the heart, it is not commendable that they live by those standards. It's condemnable. Because you will come and one day say, what happened? And the issue comes back to, did we get the heart? Now folks, that is true within your home. I want to say to you, it's true within the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ has to be interested in the heart, not merely conformity to some outward standards that we invent, even if they're biblical. If I get people only to conform, I don't help them. The only way I can get them to change is for the heart to be changed by the Lord. By the way, I'll remind you that the Spirit of God lives within us. And according to Romans chapter 8, the Spirit speaks to your what? Spirit. He's speaking to the heart. Because that's what He wants. Your heart is the control center of your life. Your child's heart is his control center. And they will live one day by their heart. When they are out from underneath your standards, they will live by what is in their heart. So, Mom and Dad, let me ask you, have you gone after their heart? Or have you been content merely to have them controlled and their behavior in check. By the way, I'll say this to you. The reason we're most concerned about behavior and why we want behavior above everything else is because bad behavior in our minds is a bad reflection on me, and I become more embarrassed than I am concerned about their character. That in and of itself is a sin we call selfishness and pride. No wonder our kids struggle. We have to set aside ourselves. Parenting is not about the parent, it's about the child, and it's capturing their heart that they be conformed to Christ, His image. By the way, a right heart, a good heart, remember according to Luke 6, always produces right behavior. Because a good tree doesn't produce evil fruit. Good trees produce good fruit. We get the heart, we get the child. We get the life. And in the end, that's our reward. Are there risks involved? Absolutely. It's hard to be a parent. At times hurts to be a parent. But there is wonderful reward if we approach it from the heart. One final thought. I've been speaking mainly to those who still have kids within their home. You say, mine are gone. Now what? It doesn't change. The issue is still the heart. You have still an opportunity as a parent who is now a friend to reach the heart of that child. They may no longer be under your authority, but they are under your influence. So win their heart. Don't worry about so much what they're now doing. We ought to pray that they change. But if all they do is conform outwardly, when you're not around, they're going to live according to the heart. So win, again, their heart. Say, that's hard work. It absolutely is. It's hard when they're young, and it's hard when they're old. But God has given you a wonderful privilege to influence their life and win the heart. I wanted to get to development. We're not getting there tonight. We'll get there next week, and we'll review some of this and talk about how our children develop so we know how to properly discipline, train them at the stages that they're in. Let's pray together, though, as we now close.